is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Bible prophecy is coming alive right before our very eyes. We're talking about the culmination of thousands of years of history, prophetic history, beginning in Genesis, the entire saga of the children of Israel, moving into the New Testament with the coming of Jesus Christ through a virgin birth, and then all the hundreds of specific prophecies throughout the Bible being fulfilled or culminating in our lifetime. Now, when we see conflict or struggle or chaos, especially in the physical material world that we live in, it is always a reflection of the spiritual warfare that is going on behind the scenes, because as the Apostle Paul teaches us, we're not fighting against people. Ultimately, we're not fighting against institutions. Our fight is with the principalities and powers, the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And those fallen angels, those supernatural powers, they activate and they materialize what we see with our physical eyes, what we hear with our ears. In other words, the chaos is not random. The chaos appears to be random. But you and I, if we're going to overcome in life, we need to see reality through the perception that God gives us. We need to have eyes that are spiritually attuned so we can really see and grasp what's going on around us. This is absolutely critical because we are moving very rapidly into the time period where Bible prophecy is going to be ultimately fulfilled with the second coming of Jesus Christ, with the tribulation period, and all the other events predicted in the Bible. So, for example, when we take the raging chaos that's going on in the United States of America, behind the chaos is a spiritual battle. And if your eyes are renewed and healed by Jesus Christ, then you can see properly past physical reality and understand that the physical reality is being energized either by dark, sinister forces, or physical reality is being energized by the power or the forces of God. And these two forces, God versus Satan, are involved in an all-out warfare. The great tragedy is that even though we're involved in this all-out spiritual warfare, the majority of people who call themselves Christians are blind to the fact that this spiritual warfare is going on all around them. They're oblivious. I mean, they see the physical parts of this warfare, but they don't understand and they can't see spiritually. They're spiritually blind. Now that, we're not talking about atheists, non-believers, or humanists who are spiritually blind. We're talking about people who claim to be saved, people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, people who claim to be born again. We're talking about the evangelical church in America and around the world, as well as other churches that are spiritually blind, and yet simultaneously with this spiritual blindness, we live in a time period when more Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right before our very eyes, assuming we can see, than ever before. Never before in the history of mankind have so many Bible prophecies come true, and it's happening in our lifetime. And it's moving very, very quickly. And the United States of America, even though it's not mentioned by name in the Bible, is playing a critical and pivotal role, because America is, at this time period, America is the last nation on planet Earth that still is built upon a biblical foundation. And America is the product of Pilgrims and Puritans who entered into a covenant with God based on the covenant that God made with the children of Israel. And so America is the last nation for a number of reasons, not because it's more virtuous than anybody else, but America is the last nation to be a platform for the preaching of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So how is it, with so much Bible prophecy happening, with things happening in the United States of America right now that you and I would never have dreamed of in our darkest hours? Although I will say this, I've been warning about this and writing about this for 30 years. And so if you read my earlier books or listen to teachings that I've given way back when, I was warning about specifically the events that we're seeing in the streets of America right now. I was warning about so many of the disturbing trends. I wrote about in detail. And the reason I was able to write about it in detail before it happened is because I was doing my homework. I was studying. I was researching. And you see, anyone who has studied and researched history, and that means many of you, you're not mystified by what's happening all around you. I mean, it's very tragic. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll be perfectly honest with you, and perhaps many of you feel the same way as I do, but my heart breaks every day for America and what's happening in the rest of the world. But because I live in America, because our ministry is based in America, and because America held such promise, it literally breaks my heart to see the free fall, if you will, of our society, of our culture. It's you know, if I was somebody that easily cried, I would be crying, I would be weeping. And I am in my spirit. I am crying and I am weeping for what's happening to America. Because we're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. And the majority of the church in America is asleep. The average Christian can't see it. Why is that? In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus Christ is speaking to the church of Laodicea. And the church of Laodicea, in many respects, is a perfect type of the church in America right now, and the church of America perhaps during the last 30 years, but especially right now. So when I read you the words of Jesus Christ speaking to the Laodicean church, also known as the lukewarm church, I want you to ponder for a moment how it applies to the lives of individuals that you know, and how it applies to the church in America. So in Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, it says this, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Now, this passage of Scripture is so powerful. Jesus Christ is speaking to a church, and his rebuke and exhortation to this church is based on the fact that the Laodicean church is neither cold towards him, and it's not hot towards him or on fire for him. It's in the middle. It's lukewarm. And the average Christian, an average church in America, thinks that to be a lukewarm Christian is acceptable to God. Of course, they don't call it lukewarm. They claim that they have a relationship with Christ. Well, they do have a relationship with Christ in many cases. But it's not a vibrant, passionate, on-fire relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a quasi-dead relationship with Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ calls lukewarm. Now, I don't know about you. Let's just take soup, okay? Now, Jesus isn't taught. I don't see anything about Jesus mentioning soup. So I'm taking a little liberty here. Let's talk about soup. I'm not a big soup fan. I used to be when I was a kid. Maybe that's because back then I was too dumb to know that Campbell's soup, for example, isn't particularly good for you. But it tasted good, especially when I was a kid. My favorite Campbell's soup was mushroom soup, or creamy mushroom soup, or whatever. But I'm not a big soup fan. But I'll tell you this, whenever I've had soup, or if I do have soup, I don't like soup that's lukewarm. Now, there are some soups at certain restaurants that you go to that are like more exotic soups, and they're like chilled soups. Maybe you've never had a chilled soup. If you ever eat French food, they'll serve a chilled soup, but it's delicious because it's intended to be served chilled. But I don't want a lukewarm soup because it tastes like tap water coming out of a faucet in New York City. I don't like lukewarm soup. It doesn't taste good. It's useless. I like hot soup. And although I'm stretching the analogy somewhat, Jesus Christ is speaking to the Laodicean church, and he's rebuking them precisely for this reason. They're neither hot nor cold. They're in this lukewarm condition. So what happens to a church, a denomination, a Christian, who is spiritually lukewarm? Because there's a lot of people in America right now, especially in the Christian church, who would not necessarily articulate it or admit it, but unconsciously and with their actions and behavior, they're saying that it's okay to be a lukewarm Christian. In fact, to be a lukewarm Christian is politically correct. To be on fire Christian, to be a committed Christian, to be a believing Christian, to be a passionate Christian, then you are marginalized as an extremist. as a religious nut job, as a wacko. You're persecuted. When you're an on fire Christian, you're persecuted. The devil and the world system, their game plan for you is to use things like political correctness to marginalize believers and Christians into playing a stereotypical role of the lukewarm Christian. And then the politically correct movement marginalizes and attacks you if you become a committed or a true Christian, because then you become a threat to the lie that the world system is based on. So Jesus Christ says to the lukewarm church, and let's get an idea of this perspective in verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So the point is that the Lord Jesus Christ is repulsed by a lukewarm church, because it's good for nothing. It's essentially powerless. And he expresses his dissatisfaction with the lukewarm church by using extremely strong words. And if you were to speak those words of Jesus Christ in your average church in America, people would be offended. The pastor would be offended that you dared to bring this passage up, even if it was true. And of course, you shouldn't bring it up if it's not true. But they would be deeply offended. But they're not deeply offended by you or me if we use these words. What they're deeply offended by are the words of Jesus Christ. You and I are just repeating the words of Jesus Christ. So what does Jesus say? Well, he counsels them to make some changes. And one of the things that he says, among others, is that he says, that Jesus Christ says that he wants to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. The idea is, because you're lukewarm, this is why he rebukes people who are lukewarm spiritually. And this is why he rebukes the lukewarm church. Because the lukewarm church, what happens when somebody's spiritual condition is lukewarm, is the following. Jesus Christ talks about it, picking up on verse 17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him or her who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay, so what happens when a church or an individual is lukewarm, according to Jesus, then they become spiritually naked. So the condition of being spiritually lukewarm leads to being wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And Jesus counsels that them, that type of church or individual, to come to Jesus to buy gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and then, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So, a cure for being blind to the spiritual battle all around us is to allow Jesus Christ to come to you personally, or to come to a church, or to come to a pastor, or whatever, to allow the Holy Spirit, to allow Jesus Christ to anoint your eyes with eye salve or eye medication. Eye medication that is produced by the Spirit of God, to allow the Spirit of God to heal and renew and restore your spiritual vision. So you're no longer blind spiritually. Your spiritual eyes can now see the fact and the reality that you're in a raging spiritual battle, and that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled all around you. Your eyes are renewed. Your eyes are restored when Jesus touches your eyes with his power. Your eyes are healed. So what happens is, Jesus Christ looks upon you, and if you're willing, when you hear his word, and the Holy Spirit convicts you and prods you and alerts you to the fact that you're spiritually blind, that you can't see, you have a choice. You can harden your heart and turn away from God, or you hear the Spirit of God convicting you. You hear the Spirit of God calling you to come to Jesus and ask Jesus to heal your spiritual eyes, to restore your spiritual vision. And so any Christian, anyone listening to me now, anywhere in the world, anywhere in the United States, to any Christian, or church, or leader who will respond to the conviction of Jesus showing you and telling you that you're spiritually blind, if you will repent of that, if you'll come before the Lord and ask him to forgive you for being spiritually blind or allowing yourself to become spiritually blind, then Jesus Christ will honor your repentance and prayer, and he will extend his supernatural power. His healing virtue will flow from Jesus right into your eyes, and he'll restore your ability to see spiritually. And in a sense, you'll wake up and you'll recognize the spiritual battle that is raging all around us, especially in America, where at this very moment there is an enormous spiritual war raging in the invisible realm, and it shows up in the chaos of what's going on all around us in the physical realm. So if you want to change or remove the chaos in the physical realm, you have to come to Christ and allow him to restore your vision so you can orient yourself and understand what's happening. Because this is not just a physical conflict or struggle that we're involved in. Ultimately, this is a last day's spiritual battle. And when I say a last day's spiritual battle, it's because we're in what the Bible calls the last days. We're moving towards events here in America right now. The unprecedented shaking, the riots, the violence, the killings, the racial wars, the freak weather, the fires that rage, the pandemic, the whole coronavirus pandemic. It is shaking people. It's shaking people because It's unprecedented in its force. It's disturbing. It's not pleasant. For whatever reason, and you can probably figure out why, God is allowing it. Because America and the church have departed largely from the ways of God, the Word of God, and in fact have rejected God. Now, the remnant church would be an exception because the remnant church is not a lukewarm church. The remnant church is on fire for God. They're on fire for God now. Many of you are part of the remnant church. You say, how do you become part of the remnant church? Well, you don't become a part of the remnant church by signing some form, filling out some form at some church and say, I'm officially registering as a member of the remnant church. You're a member of the remnant church if your heart is on fire for Jesus Christ. If you're not lukewarm and your heart is on fire for Jesus Christ, you are a part of the remnant church. You're that remnant, that remaining percentage of true believers in the last days who haven't surrendered to the great apostasy, the great spiritual deception that is deceiving millions of people and millions of Christians in America and deceiving millions of people around the world into believing the lies of Satan, such as there is no God, that we're here by evolutionary accident. If you believe that stuff, you can't be in the remnant church because it means that you're spiritually dead, because you're intellectually dead. You know, one of the ways they measure whether or not somebody is actually dead in a hospital or an emergency room is when the brain dies. Sometimes, I'm not a doctor, so I can't go into the specifics, but sometimes a person seems to be somewhat alive, and they have to diagnose, when is this person really dead? Well, brain death will tell you with a finality that someone's dead. But we have people that are spiritually brain dead. And when you're spiritually brain dead, you're dead spiritually. That's part of what it means by being born as fallen human beings. Every one of us, male and female, every single person, no matter how good you think you are, you were born with a fallen nature, just like I was. And when you're born with a fallen nature, that's evidence of the fact that you are genetically, through your DNA, connected to our genetic mother and father, Adam and Eve, who, when they rejected the Word of God in the Garden of Eden, they activated the law of sin and death. And the moment they disobeyed God's word, they triggered the law of sin and death. The death force came over them, and they instantaneously began to go into a dying mode. So, yeah, they lived to be, 900 years old or whatever, and then they died. And every one of their descendants, like you and me, we die. Nobody circumvents death unless you happen to be here when the Lord returns. So it's interesting that Jesus Christ is rebuking the lukewarm church, and he's inviting them to repent. And he uses the word repent. And he also says, be zealous. That means do it immediately. Repent immediately, because you don't know how long you have on this earth. You don't know the allotted time God has given you. None of us know that. So you want to be born again. The only remedy for being dead spiritually is to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and then to invite Christ into your life by faith, And if you do that and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you can become born again. When you're born again, you're no longer spiritually dead. When you're born again, the curse of being a fallen human being is ended. Now, that doesn't mean you don't still deal with sin as a fallen human being, but God removes the curse of sin and death. You are guaranteed after you're born again that when you die, you will enter the presence of the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You are guaranteed entrance into heaven, and you will live eternally in heaven with Jesus Christ and every other person who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then on top of that, when you're born again, the minute you die, or less than that, the minute you die, the second you die, you will appear in front of Jesus in heaven, and you will have a brand new glorified body. And behold, all things become new. And that's a time of rejoicing, because all the pain, the suffering, the sickness, the chaos, the madness, the insanity, the cruelty, and the evil of this present world age will be gone. That's why Jesus has to burn up the old earth, the old heaven, and bring about a new earth, a new heaven, and a new Jerusalem. Because this present earth and this present heaven, and by heaven, he's talking about numerous dimensions beyond this physical world. It all has to be burned up because it's defiled. Who's in this invisible world that Jesus Christ wants to restore our vision so that we're aware of this spiritual world or this invisible realm? Who's in this spiritual world or invisible realm? Satan, the fallen angels of all kinds of rankings. And then at a higher level, God exists beyond time and space, and then God's angels exist. But God has to completely cleanse the invisible realm, the spiritual world, as well as this physical world. Because it's been defiled through the presence and the activity of evil initiated by Satan and the fallen angels. So we're in the battle that's bringing us to a time period when this earth will be burnt up and the heavens will be burnt up and a new heaven and a new earth will appear and a new Jerusalem. Now, you and I are not going to be burnt up because we will be delivered from the wrath that is to come. But all those who have rejected Jesus Christ, they're going to be sentenced to the lake of fire, which is another dimension. It's a cosmic prison in another dimension that you can't get out of. And every person who's rejected Jesus Christ, and that will include the Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan, and all the fallen angels, will be sentenced for all eternity into a place called hell or the lake of fire, which you can't get out of. It's locked away. We in heaven will not even be aware of the existence of the lake of fire. It'll be non-existent because it's a prison in another dimension. So right now, we're in the time period before the coming of the Lord. We're not supposed to be blind or indifferent spiritually with our eyes. Part of having your eyes renewed by the eye salve of the Holy Spirit is your vision is restored to see what God is doing, what's happening in the spiritual realm. But then, if you're on fire with the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens is your inner man or inner woman is transformed, and the Spirit of Christ in you causes you to have a burden, to have the burdens that the Lord has. You have a burden and a passion for souls. Let me stop right there. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, or you call yourself a believer in Jesus Christ, and you don't have an actual burden, an actual passion for winning souls, for saving souls, for bringing in the last day's soul harvest, there's something wrong. There's something very wrong in the spirit of any man or woman who claims to be a Christian and doesn't have a burden for souls. What's that an indication of? It's an indication of the fact that you need to repent of that. You need to admit it, because that's a symptom. The root of the problem is what Jesus Christ was addressing in the words, in his words in Revelation, where he says in Revelation 3, starting at verse 15, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." You see, the only reason, and I'm not trying to condemn anyone, please understand, I'm not, my purpose in saying this is not to condemn you or to condemn anyone. My purpose in saying this is to exhort you to repent, because the root problem, the reason you don't have a burden for souls or a passion to win people to Jesus Christ or a passion to bring in the last day's soul harvest, is because you're lukewarm spiritually. Now, what I'm about to say may be difficult for you to accept, but it's true. You can't have a burden for souls. You can't have a passion for souls. You can't be on fire to bring in the last day's soul harvest if the reality is that your inner spiritual condition is one of lukewarmness. If you are lukewarm spiritually, it's impossible to have a burden to save souls and win the lost. Now, what people do is they attempt to fake it. Adam and Eve attempted to fake the fact that they were not naked. When Adam and Eve discovered that they were naked after they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, they were ashamed. And so they tried to hide their nakedness before God by faking it. How did Adam and Eve fake being clothed when in reality they were naked? They faked being clothed. It's so ridiculous. By putting fig leaves on their private parts, as if that was going to fool God. But that's what Christians do today. They're Christians. Many of them are born again, but they're lukewarm Christians. And so, I'm saying this not to condemn you, but to exhort you to repent. Let me give you an illustration. And I don't want you to misunderstand this. The whole purpose of this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church, our primary goal is to win souls to Jesus Christ. And so I have a burden. I'm on fire. I have a passion to win souls. And the passion that the Lord has given me to win souls, to win people to Jesus Christ, to evangelize, to teach the Bible or the Word of God, I have a passion for that. People know me. I have a reputation for being on fire, for being passionate. I've heard that my entire Christian life. But I want to tell you something. I want to make this very, very clear. The passion that I have for souls, the passion that I have for evangelism, the passion for winning the lost, for bringing in the last day's soul harvest, for bringing people to Jesus Christ, to the passion I have to reach out to the backslider, to bring them back into a right relationship, to bring them back into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. That passion that I have doesn't come from me. I want you to understand that. It doesn't come from me. Paul McGuire does not have inside himself some innate human personality-driven psychological power that energizes me to have a burden to win souls, to evangelize the lost, to teach the Bible. I really want you to understand this. None of that comes from me or myself. I'm very serious about this. I would venture to say that in and of myself, I would have no passion. I mean, maybe a little. So I would either have no passion or either a very little passion to win souls, to evangelize. So why is it that I have this passion year in and year out? Why is it that I have this energy, this drive to win the lost, to evangelize? And I want to repeat, it's not coming from me. It's not coming from my personality. Therefore, there's no reason for me to have pride or to boast in the fact that I possess a passion to win souls. But I can't boast about it because I'm acutely aware that it does not come from me. I'm acutely aware of it. How can I explain it? In one way, as I reflect, it exudes out of me, but it is not from me. I know that, and that's why I'm not proud about it. That's why I'm not boasting about it. I know that this drive that I have, this passion for souls, this passion to win the lost, this passion to preach the Word of God, this passion to stand for the things of God, I know that does not come from Paul McGuire. It is coming from the Holy Spirit inside me. It's coming from Jesus Christ inside me. It's Jesus inside me entirely. It's the Holy Spirit inside me entirely that produces that on fire state of spirituality. It's Jesus Christ entirely that provides the drive, the energy, the passion to reach the lost, the passion to ignite our nation in a biblical revival. It's Jesus in me, purely, 100%. I have nothing to do with it. Now, that doesn't mean I don't participate in it. That doesn't mean I don't obey it to the Lord when he moves. But I'm not driving it. Because in and of myself, in and of my flesh, my human nature, I couldn't do any of it. I wouldn't even want to do it. So I want to make it clear that if you want to have a passion for souls, if you want to win the lost, what will give you that passion, what will give you that drive is nothing in and of your human self. You can't do it. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot do it. And the reason I'm laughing, it's a laughter of joy, by the way. The reason I'm laughing is when the Holy Spirit reveals to you, some of you already know this, but some of you are laboring in the flesh to produce a harvest of the Spirit, and it cannot be done. You're going to drive yourself crazy. You're going to be filled with guilt and condemnation. The only way you can have this passion for souls is to be set on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is not this, don't mix that up with emotion. Being driven by emotion is just the same as by trying to be driven by your flesh. It's just the same as being driven by your personality or your psychological being. Driven by emotion is only good when your emotions are up there. But when you're driven by the Spirit, your emotions may say no. Your emotions may say yes, but you're not ruled by your emotions. It's the Spirit of God in you, propelling you and energizing you. So that's the basis of this ministry. If you ask me, what's the basis of Paradise Mountain Church? What's the basis of Paul McGuire Ministries? First of all, just because my name is on the ministry, that doesn't mean that I have anything to do with the power that's birthing the fruit of the ministry. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. You say, well, why do you put your name on the ministry? Because I'm an author, I'm a speaker. I mean, I can't have a blank. You know, I can't have a blank space when at a conference or whatever. You know, it's nothing to do with has nothing to do with me. It's like, because it's Jesus. The name is just the name to put on a ministry. The same with the name of the church. The name of the church is just the name for a church to distinguish it from another church. But what drives the ministry is the Holy Spirit. What guides the ministry, what propels the ministry, is Jesus Christ. So, for example, when I regularly on this program appeal to you to be an intercessory prayer warrior for me, my family, and this ministry, and when I appeal to you to spread this message far and wide, you see, I'm trusting Jesus to convict and to talk to those of his people who are listening to him. Because it's only those of his people who are listening to Jesus Christ who will ultimately respond. Because they'll hear the Spirit of God touching them. And they'll hear the Spirit of God saying, you need to pray for this man. Or you need to pray for this ministry. Or you need to make a donation or a contribution or a gift to this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church. You see, it's a partnership built by the Holy Spirit. It's a partnership that's built by the Holy Spirit. If you remove the Holy Spirit, there's no partnership. Now, for those of you that are listening that want to have a passion, and by the way, your passion for souls, your passion for evangelism shows up not just in what you do with your mouth and what you're saying. It shows up in your actions. It shows up in how you spend your money, in your prayer time. Same thing with the Bible. If you have no hunger or desire to read the Bible, it's either because you don't understand it or it's not being taught to you properly. But on top of that, if you don't have a hunger or a desire to read the Word of God, again, it's the same root issue, lukewarmness. You see, lukewarmness. So the solution is to not run around in a frenzy in the flesh trying to self-drive. Trying to use your own human energy or emotion to produce these good works. The solution is being set on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, all of us have to come to grips with this. And what it basically means is, if we're going to please the Lord, if we're going to truly have a desire for souls, if we're going to have the supernatural power and ability to be overcomers in the last days, if we're going to be driven to reach the lost, supernaturally driven to stand for the things of God, if we're going to have the ability to supernaturally see and have supernatural vision into the invisible world, the spiritual world, it all comes from the same root issue. Are we lukewarm spiritually? Have we allowed ourselves to become lukewarm spiritually? Or are we on fire spiritually? Or are we cold spiritually? And then the solution is the one that Jesus indicated in Revelation chapter 3. We need to repent. We need to repent. So this is how it goes. And I want to do this because I believe this is what the Lord wants done. We're in the greatest crisis our nation has ever faced. But the battle is not going to be over because an election happened. I hate to break it to you, and I'm not trying to scare anyone, but as your brother in Jesus Christ, I'm called, and as a watchman called by God to blow the trumpet, I'm compelled to tell you the truth. And the truth is, you need to brace yourself and prepare yourself spiritually, because we're about to enter a very, we're already in an intensified spiritual battle. That battle is not going to end. That battle is going to continue after the election, no matter who wins. There's going to be a raging spiritual battle. It's going to continue. Don't deceive yourself. You need to see what's happening in our nation and the forces that are causing it. You need to brace yourself. Not be afraid. I didn't say be afraid. I said you need to brace yourself. You need to prepare spiritually. You need to prepare for what is going to come. And God is in control, and God is going to move to the degree that God's people call upon him. And God has a plan for you, your family, and your children. But you need to allow the Lord to do the most important thing he can do in your life besides save your soul, which is you're not lukewarm, that you're on fire for the Lord. And that can only come about through the Spirit of the Lord. So in a moment, I'm going to just lead you in a brief prayer. In fact, let's not make it a moment. Let's do it right now. If you recognize after hearing what I just shared, if you felt that you were convicted by the Holy Spirit, and by the way, when I say if you felt that you were convicted by the Holy Spirit, I would have to raise my hand along with you. Because any of us, including myself, to say that we are totally on fire to the degree that God wants us to be on fire, I don't think any of us, even the Apostle Paul, couldn't make that claim. But that doesn't mean that we can't increase through the power of Jesus Christ. So if the Lord is convicting you or the Lord is calling you to pray, and I want to give you a warning. Part of being spiritually blind, one of the first evidences of it, of spiritual blindness, one of the first evidences of it is that you fail to see your own spiritual lukewarmness. So one of the first things that happens when you begin to become spiritually lukewarm is you lose your vision to be able to see your own lukewarmness, your own spiritual decline. And what happens is, many times, somebody who's in spiritual decline or who's spiritually lukewarm, they will like just blow off a message like this and say, oh, that's not me. I'm on fire. Yeah, sure you're on fire. I'm not picking on you. You know what I'm saying? Are you really on fire? Are you really on fire? I'm not your judge, by the way. I know I have to raise my hand on my own message. And as ridiculous as it sounds, just spontaneously, not like some ceremonial thing, as I'm talking to you from this studio with an open Bible on my lap, and I'm talking into the microphone, I open my hand up towards the Lord. I raise my hand. I didn't like plan to do it, but as I asked you to respond, I responded. Because to say that I'm 100% on fire the way the Lord wants me to be would be to be spiritually blind. We all need to be vigilant to make sure that the state of our spiritual condition is on fire. So let's pray, and I'm going to participate in my own prayer. Because when you're in a spiritual battle, the devil wants to deceive you and lull you to sleep. So if you feel convicted, that you need to ask the Lord, that you need to repent to the Lord of lukewarmness and ask him to set you on fire, then join me in this simple prayer. The purpose of the prayer is not to condemn you. It's to allow the Lord to do what he wants to do in your life and my life. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you now. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, because your word is a lamp unto our feet. Jesus, we praise your holy name and we worship you, God. We magnify you, Jesus, because you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, as we look into our own hearts, as we look into our own souls, Lord, just about every one of us, Lord, as we look into our own souls and hearts, we want to be perfectly true to you, Lord. And the truth is, Lord, that each of us have missed the mark to whatever degree. Each of us needs to constantly come before you in an ongoing relationship. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. And drink in your living water. Open ourselves up to be set on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we do that right now. We appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us of all sin. And, Lord, we repent now for allowing any degree of lukewarmness. We repent for allowing any degree of spiritual deadness or lethargy or apathy, and especially lukewarmness. We repent, Lord, for allowing it to creep into our life. We repent. And God, to the degree that each of us, or collectively, to the degree we have allowed ourselves to become lukewarm, we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to forgive us of the sin of being lukewarm. So, Jesus, we ask you to cleanse us with the blood of Jesus Christ of the sin of lukewarmness. And Jesus, we ask you right now to set us on fire with the power of your Holy Spirit, God. We praise you, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that you are forgiving us of all sin. We thank you, Jesus, that your power is coming into us right now by faith. And Lord, whether your power manifests in emotion or not, by faith we receive it, Lord. By faith we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. By faith we receive being ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit right now. By faith we receive cleansing from all sin through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every person who has come before you and who has admitted their spiritual condition before you, Jesus. We thank you for every person who has repented, God, right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name that you are igniting people with the power and the fire of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, that you are delivering people from lukewarmness and setting them on fire in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that for all those who desire to have a burden for souls, to evangelize the lost, who want to be overcomers, who want to be passionate for Jesus Christ, we thank you, God, right now in Jesus' name, that you are giving them that burden for souls. You are giving them that zeal. We thank you, Jesus, that you are setting them on fire. We thank you, Lord, that you are breathing a biblical revival into their hearts and that you're filling your people right now. You are being filled right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're being set on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. Right now, Jesus wants you to know that he's answering your prayer and he has removed that lukewarmness from you and he is setting you on fire right now in the name of Jesus and giving you a zeal and a passion. He's energizing you with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's giving you the ability to overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Many of you may not have realized it, but there has been a weariness and an oppression that has been kind of lingering over you, and the Lord is removing the weariness and the oppression right now in the name of Jesus is being lifted off your life and is being driven off of your life right now in the name of Jesus. And you are being fortified by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is ministering to you as well as fortifying you in the name of Jesus. Those of you that have been crying out to the Lord wants you to know that he has heard your crying out. He has heard the cries of your heart. And the Lord says that he is answering your prayer. He is rewarding the fact that you're coming to him in repentance, and the Lord is filling you with his purpose, his power, and his glory right now in Jesus. And you've wanted to walk under and in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and because you've repented to the Lord and asked him to deliver you of lukewarmness, as a consequence, the Lord is anointing you right now with the power of his Holy Spirit. And you are being set on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're being given that zeal and passion that can only be produced by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for doing this, Jesus. We thank you for being faithful, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we pray, God, right now in the name of Jesus, for the election. We pray for our nation. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would place your people in office. We pray that you would move in this election and heal and restore our nation, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray that the powers of darkness in the invisible realm would be bound in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you would be Lord over the election process, Father. And in the name of Jesus, we bind the work of the adversary, the principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. We bind in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you would release your angels upon our nation, upon every city, town, community, and neighborhood in this land, and in every place, in every other nation where your people are calling upon you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Spread this message far and wide by sending the link of this program to those that need to hear it. And visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And take advantage of the resources, the free resources we have for you. And make sure that you write down paulmcguire.us. There is a war going on right now as we speak in the physical realm. And there is an all-out attack on Christian ministries in the media and in internet and social media. They're being taken down left and right. Okay? And there's a war against anyone speaking biblical truth, Bible prophecy truth, and many people are being taken down. Many social media companies are removing, erasing, censoring social media platforms, and you can't take for granted the fact that programs like this are still going to be able to communicate to you. Just can't take that for granted. I'm not just speaking for this ministry. I'm speaking for many others as well. So you need to know where we are and how to locate us on the internet if we are taken down. And I pray, and you pray, that that will not happen. But it is happening to many people right now, many ministries right now. You need to understand that. They don't like people who communicate the Bible. That's not politically correct. So I'm giving you an advance warning, and I'm not just speaking on behalf of this ministry. I'm speaking on behalf of many other ministries. And the other thing is, we need your continued prayer power behind us. We need you to spread the message far and wide. And we need you to ask the Lord what you can do financially, because we need to right now, because of this attack on ministries on the internet and social media and the media, because there's a war going on against us. This ministry needs to raise the additional funds necessary to establish alternative internet social media platforms. But you need to know where we are. You need to know where any ministry is, so that if and when we have to change, you can still find us. I'm very serious about this. I'm actually understating and underplaying what I'm talking about. But I think you understand what I'm saying. I need you to go before the Lord and seek Him. We need to spend a lot of money that we normally wouldn't have to be spending to be wise and to be prudent and to maintain our presence and the communication, the audio, the video, the platforms. Don't take them for granted. We need to spend a lot of money, okay? Not frivolously, but if we don't establish new platforms and new technologies, we will not be around, and neither will any other ministry that's communicating the truth. So some of you need to really, I'm going to be blunt, you need to really start praying to the Lord what He wants you to do. And then that's all I'm going to say about it, because that's between you and the Lord. And I want to, by the way, thank God for the faithfulness of every one of you who have been faithful to give, to donate, to pray, to spread our message. Thank you for your partnership. Visit paulmcguire.us and anchor that URL address so you can know how to find us. I'm talking to people right now in the last couple of weeks. There's an increasing number of people are being torn off platforms for no legitimate reason, except that they're Christian. Enough said. Visit paulmcguire.us. This is the Paul McGuire Report.